Will you bow your heads with me so we can have a word of prayer? Father in heaven, it's your time now. We want to hear from your holy scriptures a message that will transform our lives. We want to hear from your holy scriptures today, Father, a message that will give us encouragement in a world of so many voices, in a world of so much pressure from many different crowds. It's your time now, Father. And we pray that you please forgive our sins, and we welcome you here through the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, speak to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Growing up, what were the things that you were concerned about? What were the things that used to drive you? What were the things that used to catch your attention? Growing up, what were the things that you placed in your heart that you wanted to do in the future? You know, as we listen to young people, from a very early age, some want to become doctors and nurses, and some just would like to look like daddy. Growing up, what were the things that you liked to play with? I remember growing up, one of the favorite things that I ever done was to climb up an avocado tree that we had on the backyard of our house. It was a huge, huge, huge tree. Every time I would climb up, I could see the entire neighborhood. I could see so far that there was an airport, not a big one, a small domestic airport. And I loved to see, when the wind was favorable, I loved to see the airplanes taking off and landing. They would just fly right above my house. The avocado tree. Loved it. Loved to spend hours and hours up there. Growing up, my mom gave me some very cheap binoculars, and I loved to take those binoculars up to that tree and just look, spy on the neighborhood, see what they were doing. At night, I would lay down on the cement outside, and I would look at the airplanes passing by. And by the color of the lights that would come out of the wings, I knew if the airplanes were coming or going. Even to the point that later on, I discovered that above my house, there were runways, you know, airways, that you could tell exactly where these airplanes were going. And even if they were going on an international flight or not. I loved to climb that tree and spend time there. We love to eat the avocados, too. And for you guys that don't know, in Brazil, at least for the part of Brazil where I came from, the avocados, they were huge, as big as a football, like, you know, American football, like, it's huge. And we love to cut that thing in half, take the seed out, get a couple scoops of sugar, and put it on that thing and just stir it and eat that avocado with sugar. You should try it. It's delicious. Some of you are shaking your heads. It is really good. I grew up eating that. Yes, you see, and we turn out okay. Isn't that right, Lucas? We turn out just fine eating that. That was a good joke. There's a story in the Bible that reminds us of a situation that it looks like a little child taking place or taking part in one of the stories of Jesus. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Every time there was a new airplane in the city that would fly around my house and getting ready to land, I even knew which airplane was that. I knew the pilots. I knew the people. I even wanted to be a pilot growing up, took some classes, and I loved it, loved going there. And it didn't matter how far the airplane was from the runway or from the airport. I would run like crazy from anywhere and I would be able to climb that avocado tree as fast as you can possibly imagine, like a little kid would do. And in no time, I would be all the way to the top of that avocado tree with my binoculars, just looking to see where that airplane was going and who was coming to town. A little kid that can run really fast. A little kid that can climb up a tree extremely fast. And this story in the Bible reminds me of a little bit of my childhood. And I think today, what would be the things that would excite me to climb a tree? I'll never forget living in a third world country. We didn't see many big airplanes or big helicopters. And I'll never forget one time, the governor of the state of São Paulo was coming to our little town. We heard on the news, and we knew exactly where the helicopter, the big one, was going to land. And there was a multitude of people climbing up fences and trees just to see the governor coming out of that airplane. What will be the things that will make you climb up a tree today? What will make you the thing that will make you climb up maybe a big fence or go on a rooftop so you can see somebody passing by? I know some of you thought, you know, maybe Barack Obama will come to, but let's not go there. At least not right now. Look at this story that is found in the Gospel of Luke. It says that Jesus entered Jericho. And I would like to invite you to come on this journey with me to see if you can get into this story and see if you can place yourself in through a character that will help bring insights to this story that you have never seen it. Look at this story. It says that Jesus was entering Jericho. And as Jesus was passing through, as he was passing by, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. This man was a chief collector, a chief tax collector, and he was a wealthy man, a very rich man. I don't know if we can explain to the kids what a chief tax collector would be exactly. But today we have some government people that they really like to take our money, young kids. Nothing has changed. And Zacchaeus was like that, a chief tax collector, a man that would knock at people's house and, you know, somehow take some money out of them for taxes purposes. So the government could be running smoothly. We still have that today. And look at what it says here. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. We have a crowd here today. We have a good number of people here. And imagine now if Jesus was passing by or passing through Jericho, and somebody of a small stature would like to see Jesus. They would have to stand up to see him. Now multiply that by how many people would be following Jesus. Hundreds, thousands of people. And Zacchaeus had a hard time to see Jesus. He could not see him. Sometimes I think about the fact that Zacchaeus was just a small man. And I think about the things that we compensate for in life. When we are very short, we want to do certain things so people would recognize us. When we are very tall, people already tell us you should be playing basketball because you can do it. I'm talking Austin working to playing basketball. The kid is like 12 years old. He's like almost 6 feet tall. He can make some money. And remember his youth pastor. What are the things that you compensate for? Ethnicity, gender, stature. Some other people have a hard time with education. Some people like a lot of education so they can hide behind their titles. So when they speak, people will listen because so-and-so, Dr. So-and-so now is talking. Some people, because they do not like education, they would not like anybody who has one. And they will always ask question and confront the person who has education. But going back to Zacchaeus, what would be the things that Zacchaeus would be compensating for? The fact that he was a chief tax collector, the fact that he was a short man, the fact that he was a man who had a lot of possessions. What do you compensate for? Like a little kid, the Bible says that Zacchaeus, so he ran ahead of Jesus and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. I'm not sure if you've seen a sycamore tree. We were at a birthday party a couple weeks ago, and I think I was talking to Thais and Glenn, and I said, oh, that's a sycamore tree, beautiful tree with beautiful light brown leaves. And we're looking at that, and I think I told Thais, I said, I'm going to preach about that, Thais. Now I have an illustration. Tall, very tall trees. And I'm intrigued to the fact that he was able to run ahead of Jesus. And my question to you today would be, are you able to run ahead of Jesus sometimes? Do you try hard to run ahead of Jesus? Is it possible to be a couple steps ahead of God? And it says that he climbed that tree extremely fast like a little child so he could see Jesus. And when Jesus reached that spot, Jesus looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I don't know about you, but do you like people showing up at home uninvited? Or if they didn't make that phone call first? If you have not cleaned up the house or cleaned up the dishes for a little while, isn't that uncomfortable? How would you feel if Jesus would come to you and say, by the way, we're having lunch at your house today? Would you like him to open your fridge? Would you like him to come to your kitchen, to your living room? I'm wondering how interesting that was for Zacchaeus to receive Jesus as a guest at his house. And the Bible says that all the people saw this and they began to mutter, and he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. And I don't know about you guys, but I think about this a lot. As people who attend the church, as people who know the Word of God, how many times have we thought about these things? Every time we see something we don't like, every time we see people making choices that are different from the choices that we make, every time people invite us to go to a certain party or to drink or to eat certain things around you that you're not comfortable with, are you like this crowd that start muttering and saying, how is that even possible? And Jesus is in a very same situation along with Zacchaeus. People are already thinking and people are already talking about, how is it possible that Jesus, a rabbi, a man of God, the Messiah, how is it possible that he would go to the house of a chief tax collector, a sinner? There's so many things we can learn from this story. Of course, we can learn about the crowd, and we can think about how many times in our lives crowds and voices, people with strong opinions, they have tried to get in between you and Jesus and tell you that your relationship with God is no good and no important. My question to you this morning is, what are the crowds, or which crowd is the one that is getting you away for Jesus to see you? What are the voices that are getting in between you and God? What are the things that people say sometimes that make you feel so bad that you do not even want to come back to church the next week? Crowds. Crowds. They're always there. They always have something to say. And usually they're not very kind. They're not very nice. Crowds can be very mean sometimes. Look at this story. I was surfing the web, and I saw a story here that I don't have time to tell you guys much. But in India, an Indian Muslim was accused of stealing a cow, and he was beaten to death by a Hindu mob. And the story goes that people do not even know if the fact was true or not. But the mob was so violent, the mob was so filled with rage and so violent that they came and killed a man that allegedly had killed or had stolen a cow. Crowds can be so mean. Here they are. They don't look very happy. They're staring right at you. And if you have something to hide, they will find out and they will tell you how much God doesn't like you. What is interesting is that in this story is that even though there was a multitude of people following Jesus, when the conversation takes to the point of Jesus talking to Zacchaeus, the crowds are silenced. They almost fade away. And I love this picture because it shows the moment when Jesus and Zacchaeus are talking alone. There's no noises. There are no noises around. People are thinking. People are muttering. But at this time, when Jesus talks to Zacchaeus, there's only the two of them, and the crowds are silenced. So I think another lesson that we can learn from this Bible passage is, which ones are the voices that you tend to hear the most sometimes in your life? What people tell you, what people think of you, what people tell other people about you that you heard, that they said about you. What are the voices that you listen to and the voices that you let come to your heart and sometimes make so much damage in your life? The Bible says that Zacchaeus was paying attention to what Jesus had to tell him and not what the crowds were thinking of him. You know, the world that we live in, it's just a multitude of people just always finding a way to tell you that you're no good. But look at this. The Bible says that Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." What is interesting is that I did not skip anything in this story. Jesus comes to the house of Zacchaeus. There's no Bible study. Jesus comes to the house of Zacchaeus. There's no 28 fundamental beliefs Bible study. There's no conversation about Zacchaeus. I know about what you have been doing. Jesus just looks at Zacchaeus and he says, "I would like to come to your house." And that was enough for Zacchaeus to repent. Zacchaeus knew exactly what he was doing. I'm going to get emails about this. I don't have a lot of time to speak. But, you know, if you do some studies about this, you will see why Zacchaeus says that he's going to give half of what he has to the poor. If you give some Bible studies about some of the behavior of Old Testament, what happens when you take something away from somebody, you see why Zacchaeus is saying, "I'm going to give back four times more if I have taken anything away from people." We don't have time to get so much into that. But the presence of Jesus alone is enough as he comes inside of the house of Zacchaeus for him to change his life on the spot. It's almost like if Jesus was saying that, "You're not good enough, you're better, Zacchaeus. You can be better than what you are." So one thing that we can learn today is that sometimes we need to learn how to ignore the crowds. Sometimes we need to learn how to get away from people that are just dragging us down. Do you know people that, you know, they always have something negative to say. And they will suck you down, like, you know, with all that, those feelings and those comments. We need to learn how to get away from situations like that, because otherwise we're going to be in big trouble ourselves. Another question that I would like to ask you today: how would you feel if you were like Zacchaeus climbing on that sycamore fig tree and you were waiting for the Lord to pass by and the Lord would say, "I will go to your house today"? How would you feel after knowing that you are accepted, knowing that you're free now from all the crowds looking and stares at you and their judgmental ways of looking at you? The Bible says that Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." How is that even possible that this man now is a son of Abraham? There's so much to learn, like I said. We can learn about the crowds in our lives that have voices. We can learn about the love of Jesus that is willing to attend anybody's residence for dinner. Not even matter what you have to offer to eat. We can learn so much about Zacchaeus and all the mistakes that he did as a chief tax collector, going and extorting and taking money from people that he should not be doing. We can learn so much from this story, but today I would like to focus in what this man has to say. N.T. Wright, on his commentary of Luke for Everyone, this is what he says. He reminds us that the story of Zacchaeus and the Gospel of Luke is a gospel to the Gentiles. He reminds us that one of the big themes in the Gospel of Luke is the theme of rich and poor. And there are many, many stories in every single one of those chapters in the Gospel of Luke that you see a lot of comments about rich or riches and being poor. And how for Luke in his gospel that is so important. N.T. Wright, he reminds us that Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. And he says, as soon as you hear the story, as you hear the comment that Zacchaeus was a wealthy man, the first thing that you think about it is Luke 18. One chapter before the one we are reading today. And that's the story of the rich young ruler. N.T. Wright, he says, they were both wealthy. They were both Jews. And he even goes to the point of saying that Zacchaeus is like a minor hero in the Gospel of Luke. And you might be asking, how is it possible that a man like Zacchaeus would be a minor hero in the Gospel of Luke? If you go back to Luke chapter 18, you will see that the rich young ruler is asked to give all that he has. And he's asked to follow Jesus. And what does he do? Does he give everything he has? No. Does he follow Jesus? No, he does not. But now when it comes to the story of Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus himself is the one who offers to give not everything, but half of everything he has. And a better question is, does Zacchaeus ever follow Jesus? There's no collection in the Gospel of Luke that after Jericho, Zacchaeus is following Jesus everywhere he goes, or now that he becomes an evangelist. So what is wrong with this story? Is this story really about money and wealth? And again, N.T. Wright, he says, money is not the focal point in the Gospel of Luke. There is more to this story. And then as he comments on this passage, he said that one place that we're going to find a lot of light is when we go back to the same Gospel of Luke chapter 14, where Jesus is telling a story about places of honor. And we don't have time to read that, but remember the story when we're talking about people coming in to a party and somebody comes and sits all the way on the front, and then the person telling the story, he says, be very careful, because if you come and sit all the way to the front and you're not the super guest that they're waiting for, they might say, do you mind sitting on the back, please, because we have somebody more important coming in. But he says, but you sit all the way on the back, because if your friend will remember you, and he's going to say, oh, my good friend is here. Sir, can you please come forward? I have a better place for you here at the front. So after Jesus is giving all this story, he ends this short passage in Luke chapter 14 by saying, for all those who exalt themselves, they will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see the contrast between the story of the rich young ruler and the contrast between the story of Zacchaeus, both Jewish people, both Jews, and both wealthy men. Zacchaeus is short of stature. He's overwhelmed by the crowds, but he does something different. In one of the commentaries that I was reading, it says, it would have been difficult for Zacchaeus to find a lower seat than the height of a sycamore tree. You don't see a lot of adults climbing up trees to see other people coming their way. Children would do those things. How interesting. Also, he says that the rich young ruler approaches Jesus and shows his qualifications for eternal life. What do I must do in order to be saved? Keep the commandments of God? I have done. Which ones? That is the attitude of the rich young ruler. But Zacchaeus, he's approached by Jesus, and then he humbles himself and receives Jesus to his house. There are so many things we could talk about in this story. We can focus on a small man that becomes big as he climbs up a tree and meets Jesus. We can talk about a poor man that becomes rich in the eyes of the Lord. We can talk about a host that ended up becoming a guest in his own house. And the one that I like the most, we can talk about a seeking man that becomes found. So now I'd like to end with this. If you're still in the story with me, if you're still with Jesus following the crowds, if you're still walking right after Jesus looking for that place where Zacchaeus is waiting for Jesus, and my question to you is, did Jesus come all the way through Jericho to find Zacchaeus alone? I'm not sure if you understand what I'm asking here. There is a commentary in one of those Bible dictionaries that you look in, Bible commentaries, that says that it's very probable, very possible, that Jesus went through Jericho with the multitude of people following him only for the purpose of meeting Zacchaeus. There is no way that you can say that Zacchaeus was ahead of God. Jesus was already a couple steps in front of Zacchaeus, and he was waiting for him. I do not know what are the things that you like to do most in your life. I do not know what are the things that draw you close to God. But today I would like to ask you, is it possible that Jesus came to the Corona Seventh-day Adventist Church today, walking through the multitude of people, looking for someone that will stand out from the crowds, that will climb that tree or maybe stand up and look at Jesus, saying, Jesus, please look at me. People come to church for many different reasons. And my question to you today is, have you come to church today to climb up that tree and look even among the multitude so Jesus would be able to look at you and say, I would like to go with you to your home today? Sometimes we build so many walls as a crowd, as a church, that we make it so difficult for people to come to church and to come to Jesus. I was talking to my daughter not long ago, and this really brings tears to my eyes. I was going through the story, and I said, Gabby, what can I make out of this story? Help me out here. And as she looked at me, we're driving on the car, and she said, I don't know, Daddy. And I said, I know you have something to say. She said, I'm not sure if I want to say that. Are you going to get mad at me if I say it? I said, please, go ahead and say it. My daughter looked at me, she said, I don't know, Daddy, I think sometimes church is not for young people. I think sometimes church is not for little kids. I said, what do you mean by that? She said, I don't know, sometimes it feels like only the pastors are important. It feels like only the elders are important and the big people are important in the church. And I said, Gabby, what have we learned from the story of Zacchaeus? And I heard one of the most beautiful things I ever heard when anybody talked about this story. And Gabby looked at me and she said, Dad, after reading and talking about the story of Zacchaeus, I guess you're never too small for God to notice you.
Amazing grace will always be my song of praise, for it was grace that brought me liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous his grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my Amazing grace will always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought me liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous his grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous his grace my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need.
I don't even know what to say now.